and thank all of the devotees for giving me this opportunity to address all of you in this very large assembly, devotees, international festival, in Srila Prabhupada's home, world headquarters, Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the holy month of Kartik. I pray to all of you that I can be able to say something, speak something, which will be pleasing to their lordships, to Srila Prabhupada, and to all of you. So we're continuing reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, chapter number 27. We're reading verses 22, which has no purport, and 23, which does. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Natasya kaschid dayata patipo nagnati bandorna paro nachasva samasya sarvatra niranjanasya suke naraga kuta eva rosa. So once again, this is Chitraketu accepting the curse of Mother Parvati, and these are his statements in these verses we've been hearing the last few days. And this verse and the next one, plus verse 24, are the conclusion of Chitraketu's statement. So the translation, although the Supreme Lord is unattached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed toward all living entities. Therefore, no one is very dear to him, and no one is a great enemy for him. No one is his friend, and no one is his relative. Being unattached to the material world, he has no affection for so-called happiness or hatred for so-called distress. The two terms, happiness and distress, are relative. Since the Lord is always happy, for him, there is no question of distress. So, verse 23. Tatapi takshakti visharga esham sukaya dukaya hitahitaya bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmano savirinam samstrate vakalpte. Tatapi takchakti visharga esham sukhaya dukhaya hita hitaya bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmano savirinam samstrataye vikalpate. Tatapi takchakti visharga esham sukaya dukaya hita hitaya bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmano saririnam samstrataye vikalpate. Tatapi takchakti visharga esham sukaya dukaya hita hitaya bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmano Sarinam samstratayeva kalpate. Tatapi, still, tat shakti of the Lord's energy. Visharga, the creation. Esham, of these conditioned souls. Sukaya, for the happiness. Dukaya, for the distress. Hita ahitaya, for the profit and loss. Mandaya, for the bondage. Mokshaya, for the liberation. Cha, also. Mrityu, of death. Janmano, and birth. Sadirinam, of all those who accept material bodies. Samstrittaye, for the repetition. Avakalpate, acts. Although the Supreme Lord is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is his enemy or favorite, he creates pious and impious activities through the agency of his material potency. Thus, for the continuation of the materialistic way of life, he creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad, bondage and liberation, birth and death. Let's all say together, although the Supreme Lord is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is his enemy or favorite, he creates pious and impious activities through the agency of his material potency. Thus, for the continuation of the materialistic way of life, he creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad, bondage and liberation, birth and death. Purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON's Founder Acharya Jagadguru Patita Pavana Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate doer of everything, in His original transcendental existence, He is not responsible for the happiness and distress or bondage and liberation of the conditioned souls. These are due to the results of the fruitive activities of the living entities within this material world. By the order of a judge, one person is released from jail and another is imprisoned, but the judge is not responsible for the distress and happiness of these different people. It is due to their own activities. Although the government is ultimately the supreme authority, the justice is administered by the departments of the government, and the government is not responsible for the individual judgments. Therefore, the government is equal to all the citizens. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is neutral to everyone, but for the maintenance of law and order, His supreme government has various departments which control the activities of the living entities. Another example given in this regard is that lilies open or close because of the sunshine, and thus the bumblebees enjoy or suffer. But the sunshine and the sun globe are not responsible for the happiness and distress of the bumblebees. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadanti Kam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute and these three Jayatam Surato Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano Dibyad Brindaranya Kalpajrumada Srimad Ratnagara Swinghasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Pristalabhi Savyamano Smarami Srimad Rasa Rasarambi Bamsi Bhattatastita Karshan Venu Svanar Gopir Gopinatha Sriye Stuna Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktabrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Tatapi tak shakti visarga esham, sukaya dukaya hitahitaya, pandaya mokshaya chamrityu janmano, sadiranam samstrataye vakalpate. Although the Supreme Lord is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is his enemy or favorite, he creates pious and impious activities through the agency of his material potency. Thus, for the continuation of the materialistic way of life, he creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad, bondage and liberation, birth and death. Prabhupada said in one place, one cannot understand who is actually a devotee unless one happens to be a devotee himself. It's very simple and sweet, but it's revelatory of the very multi-level, multifaceted, very delicate and sensitive nature of Krishna Sambandha and Bhakta Sambandha, relationship between the Lord and the devotee, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, and in that purport in the 29th verse of the 3rd chapter of the Gita, the Lord and the living entity eternally glitter together. The Lord is like a diamond, and the living entity is like the golden band that holds the diamond. Together they look very, very beautiful. So this lila, or story, has many amazing facets to it. Of course, we remember that here, Marj Chichiketu, by the blessing of Narada Muni Nangira, he seemingly was an ordinary attached man, albeit a king. He simply wanted to have an heir to his throne. And of course, he was frustrated. And he was given the Harshashoka benediction of having a son that would be the source of both his happiness and distress. And blinded and or eager as he was to have the son, by all means, he was thinking, well, maybe he'll be a bad son, just like Maharaj Anga had King Vena, who created such a situation that he had to leave in the middle of the night without anybody, his ministers, his wife, or his closest aide-de-camps near him, and go away to the forest for renunciation, which was ultimately a boon to him to achieve pure devotional service. So in extreme lamentation, he was further instructed by Narada and Angira, so much so that he gained the adhikar, or eligibility, by the association of these great Mahabhagavat devotees to achieve the darshan and instruction of Lord Anantadev, who then blessed him, as he is now, Marchichaketu, to enjoy a very opulent life, albeit detached completely. He was traveling with the Vidyadhari, beautiful heavenly women, and going in a fabulous airplane, shining like gold, to all different delightful places. And actually, that is the, so to speak, insider's joke between Lord Shiva and Marj Chichiketu, to which Mother Parvati here takes offense, that he, Chichiketu, is criticizing Lord Shiva for embracing her, Parvati, in the assembly of great saintly persons. And it's revealed by Prabhupada in the purports, the version of the Acharyas, that Lord Shiva was also making a joke or jest at Marj Chittaketu, who's supposed to be an advanced devotee, yet he's seemingly enjoying with all these beautiful heavenly women. So what's up here? So it was just friendly chiding between two great personalities. But there were also nuances that Marj Chittaketu, he shouldn't have thought himself a greater controller of the senses than Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada remarks that his criticism or treatment of Lord Shiva was considered somewhat harsh. So we may have due course in situation to criticize, or to, as we say in America, call a spade, or tell it like it is. But in dealing with devotees, especially with devotees who are advanced, and advanced means that they have been accepted more and more by Krishna himself in an intimate, loving relationship. The intelligence and, let's say, determination, resolve, and modus operandi, motivation of such personalities, is very, very deep. And one shouldn't presume to try to understand what those motives or intentions are based on external observation most of the time. At the same time, coming in our line from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, devotees are meant to act in such a way that common persons or newcomers or prospective candidates to the devotional path will be able to follow their example. In other words, we shouldn't act like avadutas in such a way that people will not be able to understand. Sometimes this is very difficult. As we were hearing Shuddhi Prabhu mention yesterday, what is night for the introspective sage is the time of awakening for the materially engrossed, and vice versa. And those who have decided, as Marj Chichiketu is pointing here, to take to the materialistic way of life, they will always be, the term Prabhupada uses is a British term, at loggerheads with those who have actually decided to give up the materialistic way of life. This is most poignantly and profoundly demonstrated in the relationship between father and son, Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. My dear father, give up the materialistic way of life. Give up this idea of friends and enemies. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there are no enemies in this world. Such ideas are simply made by mental concoction. And we know that folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss, and Hiranyakashipu didn't like these instructions. You fool, you think you're better than me at controlling the senses? You've always spoken of a God more powerful than me, but where is he? Is he in the pillar of this assembly hall? Yes, my dear father, he is. Well, let him come to save you, because now I'm going to sever your trunk from your head from the trunk of your body, because such nonsensical talk is indulged in by those who are just about to die. And of course, the challenge was answered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Nrisimhadev. The Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. In his original transcendental existence, he is not responsible for the happiness and distress or bondage and liberation of the conditioned souls. So this is a very important preaching point, very important philosophical point that all devotees should understand firmly. People will challenge, why do bad things happen to seemingly good people? Actually, this entire, we were celebrating the Tirubhav of Narottam Das Thakur. He speaks in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Moonlight of Loving Devotion, that this material life is like a dream. Take this human life very seriously, because it is the most sacred facility or seed, Bhakti Lata, by which the tender creeper of devotional service to the Lord may sprout. Take great care only to serve the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and do not let any other activity touch you. Know that the love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna is the supreme reality and the perfect and most complete explanation of the absolute truth and all other truths. I will not speak other talk, I will not hear other talk, except for the words I wish to hear. All other words are useless. Proud, bewildered by false ego and all their activities in the material world for nothing, these are the most poor and unfortunate people in the world. I abandon their company and only sit very securely in association of the Lord's devotees. Thus speaks poor-hearted Narottam Das. Prabhupada, summing this up in one place, I believe in the first canto, as naughty boys are supplied playing cradles. So this material world is basically just like a big playpen to keep uncontrolled children under control. Even the materialists, they have a saying, he who dies with the most toys wins the game, or has the most possessions. So here Maharaj Chuchiketu is fully aware of the falsity of materialistic life, and amazingly, he is detached from receiving a curse from the material energy personified. Goddess Durga, with her various weapons, she is giving pinpricks to the conditioned souls. Miseries arising from the body and mind, miseries arising from other living entities, miseries arising from natural causes, very hot, very cold, disease, etc., etc. Prabhupada remarks in one place, in terms of old age, in the fourth canto, where old age is personified as the daughter of Yamaraj, or death personified, and before meeting Yamaraj, one must accept this jara, the old age. For the devotee, his seeming old age is actually a source of great encouragement and increased enthusiasm for the devotee, because knowledge of his going back home, back to Godhead, is more and more revealed and made confidentially assured to the devotee, thus filling him with great inspiration. This is the ultimate yukta vairagya, how Prabhupada says in the first canto in regards to Narada Muni's conversation with Vyasadeva in chapters 5 and 6, that a so-called material thing engaged in the Lord's service regains its original spiritual identity. So, what will follow is Lord Shiva's glorifying the character of Maharaj Chichiketu to the goddess Parvati. When Lord Shiva saw that, and Parvati saw that Chichiketu, although informed of the curse, and what a heavy curse, go down and take your birth in the family of most sinful asuras in this material world. We were hearing earlier how in the mist between the battle between the demons and the demigods for control over the heavenly planets, how the great demon Britasura appeared, and everyone was so much afraid, and he's giving battle to Indra, and Indra is astonished. Where did you get such staunch determination as a unalloyed devotee of the Lord? This is unbelievable, unprecedented. How could such a thing be? My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are great souls and not interested in any kind of material happiness. And this is the, so to speak, if we look at Antya Lila chapter 20, the Shishastakam, there's only 8 verses, but each of these 8 verses is supported and surrounded and enhanced by corresponding other verses. So you'll see that many places throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, where important verses, there's a prelude that leads up to them. And here, this most important verse spoken by Lord Shiva next. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati svarga apavarga narakeshu api tulyarta darshina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. The same Lord Shiva, later, as this pastime continues into the 8th canto, when the churning of the milk ocean produced the most fearsome halahata poison that would more or less poison everyone. Everyone appealed to Lord Shiva to save the situation, and he took that poison, amalgamated it all into enough for him to drink. It is said that great saintly persons almost always accept voluntary suffering for the sake of the upliftment of the fallen conditioned souls or of living entities in general. Such action is considered the highest method of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who lives in everyone's heart. So, our Srila Prabhupada came to the Lower East Side of New York City, Manhattan, which 50 years ago was a very dangerous, rundown place. And Prabhupada remarked, you know, when he was leaving the confined and restrictive environment of the Mayavad acquaintance guru, Dr. Mishra, in the Upper West Side, 72nd Street, to take an offer from one young man who was going to San Francisco, that he could use his artist-in-residence loft, that was Harvey Cohn, who later became Haridas, one of the first initiated devotees, an artist-in-residence loft on the Bowery, and some of his friends that he had made up there in the Upper West Side, which has always been a higher class place to be, warned him, don't go to the Bowery. That's not a good thing to do. And Prabhupada said, I didn't have any distinction between safe place, unsafe place, friends or enemies. All I knew was Krishna. And as he remarked of his struggle alone there from 1965 in the winter until ultimately getting the success of establishing his own place at 26 Second Avenue in June or July of the following year, I never felt alone. I always felt the association and presence of my spiritual master, who out of love, he had undergone all of these sufferings and inconveniences. As he told one of the uptown fuss-budgety yoga ladies who could sense that, Prabhupada, you're not happy here. Yes, I have my place in Vrindavan where I would have no trouble at all, but I am duty-bound by my superior. Therefore, I am here. I have a message for you people, despite all of my difficulties. The love of Srila Prabhupada for his spiritual master is the highest love that one can possibly understand. And the love of the true disciple for the bona fide spiritual master is, as Narottam Das Thakur also says, Sri Guru Charani Rati Ese Uttam Gati. It is the highest love. And what does that loving reciprocation and all purity bring one to? The perfection of all desires. In this material world, it is a blinding dust storm of desire. Similarly, Narottam Das Thakur, he's saying, by serving the feet of these six Goswamis, all obstacles to devotion are destroyed and or removed, and one's real desire is manifest. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, those who are favored by the Lord find their path beset with thorns. One devotee shared this with me. It's a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I wish I could reference the book where this comes from. He says, the truth is such that in this material world, it will be attacked or have many obstacles placed before it, or the devotee who is representing the truth. Why does the Lord do this? So that the truth, or the devotee, will be more greatly recognized by those who weren't in a position to understand the truth. In other words, thinking untruth to be truth. The demons, they consider the truth to be untruth and truth to be untruth, always striving in the wrong direction, under the modes of passion and ignorance. So the truth is like the sun, and illusion is like dark, dense clouds that cover the sun. How will the sun emerge from behind dark clouds? By a violent storm to dissipate the clouds. And what is that violent storm? Very vigorous and sincere and continuous propagation of Shudanam Sankirtan, especially in Kali Yuga. Tiraskrita viparlabda shapta shipta hata api nasya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Of course, this is the glorification of Maharaj Parikshit, accepting the curse of an inexperienced Brahmin boy, Sringi, who had no intelligence at all. So many, as we're describing facets and nuances to the story. The demigods went to Lord Vishnu. They got his darshan, appealing for relief from the great demon Britasura. They offered very, very beautiful, eloquent, very intelligent prayers. They didn't know who Vritasura was. The Lord did. The Lord did not reveal to him at that time. He simply heard their prayers and lightly chided them for coming to him with such desires. Pure devotees don't come to me for ask for relief from distress. But do not worry. This Vritasura, he is my pure devotee, and he will not harm you. Who knew? The Lord's relationship with the devotee is extremely confidential. Later in this canto, sixth canto, in the Payobrata system of worship, how to worship Lakshmi Narayan, Prabhupada writes in one purport there that in relation to the Lord's independence, he's not needing anyone else for his happiness, but at the same time, he requires his pure devotees to complete his happiness. That's later described in the fourth chapter of the ninth canto, Maharaj Ambarish, where Lord Vishnu is advising Durvasa Muni for his benefit. You go and surrender and beg forgiveness from Maharaj Ambarish for your maha aparad. The devotees control me by their love. I cannot forgive you. And Prabhupada says there in that ninth canto that, and he mentions the devotees in the most exalted four primary rasas here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Lord wants these devotees. He requires these devotees. Similarly, the Lord wants to expand his devotees more and more. This Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to expand the Lord's pleasure potency more and more. One who takes part in this movement, or in other words, in trying to preach this Krishna consciousness movement, becomes indirectly a controller of the Lord. One who has understood, back to that sixth canto, the Lord's opulence of being self-sufficient, yet at the same time being under the control of the pure devotee's love, has actually understood the true nature of the master and servant relationship, which Prabhupada says in another place is the most congenial form of intimacy. Generally, the transcendentalists, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged. This position of the pure devotee, it creates an astounding facility for the wrongdoers, or the materially engrossed, to ultimately be purified and come to their senses. So many pure devotees of the Lord went through seeming persecution, false accusation, blasphemy, even violence. Lord Chaitanya came hurriedly on the spot, invoking a Sudarshan Chakra, ready to immediately kill Jagai and Madhai, who had injured Lord Nityananda, causing him to bleed. Lord Nityananda begged Lord Chaitanya. He had to physically intervene to stop the execution. Like they're pulling the electric chair switch and you put your hand in there to stop the electricity. No! If you kill them, you have to kill everyone in this age, because everyone's on the level of Jagai and Madhai. My dear sir, we are beating you in 21, 22 marketplaces, and you don't die. If you don't die, then we're going to be in big trouble from the Mohammedan, what was his name, big boss man? Oh, really? I'm putting you in distress? I'm going to put you in difficulty? All right, I'll die. who was at Benares, Tapana Mishra, and Chandrasekhar Acharya. They have their samadhis at the Sanatan Goswami Radhamadan Mohan courtyard. My Lord Chaitanya finally came there on his touring, and they were so hurt in heart, because so much blasphemy they had to hear of Lord Chaitanya and of the path of devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya devised a very excellent method to convert them. That makes the glorious Prabhupada couldn't wait for the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita or even the Adi Lila as one book to be published. He had it made immediately in 1970, Lord Chaitanya in Five Features, which is part of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the conversion of Prakashananda Saraswati. The Lord very politely changed their minds. They were offenders destined to going to hell. And also in the Adi Lila, those who formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya, considering him a drunkard, later came to say, yes, this is very good, and also accepted the fruit of pure devotional service and became ecstatic in love of Godhead. So we should gain very strong and 100% faith through practice and application of the bona fide methods of preaching pure devotional service and come to understand the supreme potency of pure devotional service. Jivaras Rupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. That is the identity of every living entity, and it is ultimately the topmost vision, the Mahabhagavat vision, to see that everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord. As Prabhupada says in one place, by his transcendental power, such a Mahabhagavat, this is in regard to Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Samvat, he can turn sand into gold by his transcendental prowess. So this movement has become astoundingly, exponentially successful, both quantitatively and qualitatively, and it continues to do so due to the pure devotional service of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who is all our common Father and Master. So we're all here in the most sacred month of Kartik. Srila Prabhupada has said we're trying to construct a temple in Vrindavan for all of our disciples around the world to visit, to come here and get the blessings of Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Shri Shri Gaurini Thai, and take very strongly and profoundly and infallibly those blessings and spread them to our lost brothers and sisters all over the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? You could have moved to another area. I think we're all feeling the... we should be very conscientious to appreciate the association of devotees. There's so many devotees here in Kartik, and visitors and pilgrims, that it becomes somewhat of an austerity to space management, right? So we should, let's say, check ourselves or, you know, make a little instruction to ourselves. Okay, there's lots of devotees here, and devotees are exalted personalities that they can fulfill the desires of everyone, and they're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. You know, many of us are going to find ourselves back in some big city, and, you know, and there's just tons of non-devotees around, and there's not that many devotees around, and oh boy, you know, I was in Vrindavan and all these nice, you should take it very, not take for granted. And if there's a little bodily or mental inconvenience, then I would say that that's a indication that we should become more internal. Not internal, become misanthropic and antisocial, but deepen our understanding of our spiritual identity as an eternal spirit soul. And then, like these devotees we're hearing about, Maharaj Chichiketu, Parikshit Maharaj, or Lord Shiva, Haridas Thakur, who showed for our own instruction and edification extreme circumstances of distress, that they were tolerant and accepted those things as blessings or favor. That's one thing I could say. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Okay, we talk about space management, but time management. It's Saturday, and the pilgrims want to come in, so let us free the temple and keep to our 9 o'clock schedule of stopping Bhagavatam class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.